Hello and welcome to this video around the Patterns and Practices core component targeted for SharePoint Online and SharePoint On-Premises. My name is Vesa Juvonen, I'm a Senior Program Manager in Office 365 Engineering. And in this particular video, we're going to walk through what is the PNP core component and what it can actually provide you within a SharePoint Online or within the SharePoint On-Premises. The PNP core component is part of the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices deliverables, and we are releasing a monthly a new version on monthly basis on the PNP core component, but the PNP is actually much more than that. So the PNP provides you code examples and solutions, guidance documentation, monthly community calls where we are always explaining the monthly development within the PNP and what's new for the community to consume. And there's also case studies from Blue Meteor and Volvo Cars around their success on transforming from a SharePoint Farm solutions based solutions to SharePoint adding model based solutions. The PNP is really, the maturity of PNP guidance has been traditionally around SharePoint add-ins, but we are evolving the PNP more towards Microsoft Graph and Office 365 APIs as well. One of the key pointers on the PNP are absolutely the remote provisioning, which will help you to align with the latest guidance on provisioning SharePoint sites within on-premises or within a SharePoint Online. And obviously client-side development as well, which is increasing. There's an increasing interest of using SharePoint more efficiently using the JavaScript client-side development methods. Within this video, we're going to concentrate on let's say, the high introduction on the PNP core component. So what is PNP core component all about? We can also talk about the key capabilities of the PNP core component relatively fast. So we will have a separate videos on deep diving on those individual capabilities. And then we're going to talk about how you can start using the PNP core component. The PNP core component is released as a NuGet package, the NuGet gallery, so you can easily consume that using from any managed code or .NET framework code-based solutions. And we also have a demo around how to get started on using the PNP core component NuGet package. So what is actually PNP core component? PNP core component is an open source extension on top of the native SharePoint CSAM and REST APIs for managed code. And what we mean with that one is that it extends the typical set of APIs which are available within the client-side object model and within the REST. And it extends them by providing easy extension methods and easy solutions on building your own solutions on top of the SharePoint in SharePoint Online or in on-premises. We do have three different versions, or when this video has been recorded, we actually had two versions, but there will be a third version available relatively soon. So we have three versions of the PNP core component. The version 15 is for SharePoint 2013 on-premises for on-premises deployments. 16 version used to be for a SharePoint Online, but 16 in the new divider or in a new design will be targeted for SharePoint 2016. And 16.1 version of the core component is for SharePoint Online. So the versioning numbers are essentially aligned with the client-side object model versioning within the SharePoint context. So 15 version is for SharePoint 2013, 16 version for SharePoint 2016, and 16.1 version for SharePoint Online. The key objective of the PNP core component is to simplify remote development for any managed code from a provider-hosted add-in or a Windows code. And with Windows code, we mean, for example, console applications or Azure web jobs, taking advantage of the CSAM or connecting the SharePoint Online as an example, and modifying the sites or provisioning the sites and so on. The PNP core component is released as a NuGet package in a NuGet gallery. And there's essentially two main kind of sites of the PNP core component. There's the online side where we include in the NuGet package the Office Dev PNP core assembly. So whenever you reference the NuGet package, you get a latest version or reference to the latest version of the Office Dev PNP core component. And then as part of the dependencies within the NuGet package, you are also getting the Microsoft SharePoint client DLL and all the other client or CSAM assemblies, including also the SharePoint context token helper and possibly the SharePoint context filter attribute for MVC applications. For on-premises, this is relatively the similar setup. The only difference is that within the on-premises, we are also including the tenant-level assembly as part of the native BNP NuGet package. And we do this because we don't have a NuGet package for SharePoint on-premises where this tenant-level DLL or assembly is included. So in the SharePoint Online site, this Microsoft Online SharePoint Client.Tenant DLL is included in the package by using dependencies. So actually, it's not within the BNP NuGet package. It will arrive to your project as part of the dependencies, what we have within the package. And we're going to see that one live within the demo later on within the video. So what is actually BNP Core Component? What are the use cases and how is it or what is it actually providing? The key capability of the BNP Core Component is that it actually provides extension methods. So simplifications of using the client-side object model for SharePoint online or on-premises. And we will have an example of this one coming up within the following slides. But what it essentially means is that it increases, the BNP Core Component increases the productivity of the developers by simplifying client-side object model methods and operations. For example, when you are creating a new list or creating a content type or adding a content type to a list, if you use the native client-side object model for SharePoint, those operations actually might require quite a significant amount of code. But using the BNP Core Component, all of that complexity is abstracted and you can achieve typical use cases just by using a single line of code within your .NET application. The second big thing in the BNP Core Component is the remote time job framework. And this will help you to create time jobs, which typically were server-side time jobs in a SharePoint on-premises. But now that we are moving in more and more to the client-side development practices or remote development practices, where we are connecting towards SharePoint, we're not running the code inside of the SharePoint servers, we have implemented this remote time job framework, which is part of the BNP Core Component, which will help you to manipulate sites or apply operations on top of your SharePoint in SharePoint Online and on-premises as well. This way, you don't actually have to implement farm solution-based or server-side time jobs within your on-premises farm either. The BNP Core Component also includes Authentication Manager, which will help you to authenticate against SharePoint Online or on-premises, dependent or regardless of the authentication model and what is used. So you can use the Authentication Manager to abstract the complexity, as an example, when you are using a Azure Active Directory-based authentication to SharePoint Online. Or you might want to use the Authentication Manager to simplify the access on SharePoint on-premises if you're using ADFS as your identity manager. We also include a highly popular site provisioning framework, which will help you to apply branding or any site configurations to an existing site. So moving on forward on the SharePoint development, we do not recommend people to use a feature framework elements or sandbox solutions or farm solutions to get their assets deployed to the site collections. And the BNP Core Component contains the site provisioning framework, which will help you to do this in practice for SharePoint Online and on-premises. And it helps to really implement a dynamic and more future-proof way of deploying assets and configurations to your SharePoint sites. And a final thing, which is kind of related on the BNP Core Component, it's not precisely part of the BNP Core Component, is the BNP PowerShell commandlets. So if you are more on the PowerShell side and you want to implement modifications of the SharePoint in online or in on-premises using PowerShell and scripts, you can take advantage of the BNP PowerShell, and the BNP PowerShell commandlets actually use the BNP Core Component for the operations. And we're going to talk about that one slightly later on this video as well. So let's have a quick look on all of those items more precisely. What does it actually mean? So the extension methods, they are actually extension methods on top of the native CSM object. And these are really targeted to be one line or two line code methods for different use cases. If you add a using statement to your provider-hosted adding or console application or web Azure web jar to Microsoft.SharePoint.client, you will and you have a reference to the core component, you will see all of these extension methods automatically available, for example, in the web job, web object or in the list object. So you can easily access these methods and you don't need to worry about understanding which components or which classes you need to actually call. And there's a good example actually on the slide on this one. So if we concentrate on the code which is on the slide, the first line is obviously comment. The second line we have a ctx.web.createContentType. That create content type is not a native client-side object model method. When you have a reference to the core object, that will be natively available within your code, and you can use that to create a content type using just one line of code. In this case, we are creating a PNP document content type using a unique identifier for the content type and putting that content type to a PNP group in the content type gallery. Then on the following line, we're using create list method, which is not a native CSM method. It's again part of the core component method, which you can use to easily create new lists and libraries just as we're using a single line of code. So in this case, we're using the create list and list template type document library. So we're going to create a document library called PMP documents, and we're going to enable the content types within that document library. And then the last line of line within the code example or in the snippet is add content type to a list by a name. And in this case, we are essentially associating the newly created content type to the list, which we just created as well. So this is three lines of code, and if you would be writing to exactly the same case using native CSM without these additional extension methods, that would actually cost you a tens and tens of lines of code to make it happen. So the PMP core component is really simplifying and increasing the productivity of the developers by providing these extension methods. So it's more around managing settings and artifacts across SharePoint objects. And we have a lot of different extension methods. There's hundreds of extension methods for sites and lists and content types and fields, and also including manipulation of the page content. One of my personal favorites is the extension methods on adding a web part to a specific section within a welcome page in a team site. And that's actually hundreds of lines of actual CSM code. But within the PNP core component, that's a single method which you call and you just provide the needed web part definition as a reference, and then you can define which location within the page that web part will be placed. The second thing what we mentioned, what is part of the core component, was the remote time job framework. And this is really around easing up operations to handle executions across multiple sites and site collections within SharePoint. So what we mean with that one is that typically a server-side time job have been always operating on the individual sites. You've been maybe doing some covenants-related task or maintenance task on the site. You might be, for example, checking that every single site collection has two administrators or site collection administrators. That's a relatively typical covenants-related task. Or you might be checking whatever other compliancy settings within the sites. And the remote time job framework actually helps you to implement that using the remote time job pattern, where the code is executed outside of the SharePoint. It's no longer a server-side time job, it's a remote time job. It's running in the Azure web job as an example, or within the on-premises it could be running as a Windows service. And then the framework will help you to get access on the site, help you to get access or using the code in the multi-threading fashion. It helps you to authenticate to a different SharePoint sites. You can also use so-called dynamic scope, which means that you are able to use wildcard searches based on finding the right site sites which you want to actually operate on. Or you can take advantage of the state management and also enhanced locking for your remote time job implementation. Typical use cases, like mentioned, is something like you want to double check that every single site's collection has a two-site collection administrators, or they have the right metadata collected, or they have some other governance-related topic to double check. And then you are able to do manipulations within a SharePoint site easily using whatever code you want to actually take or implement for your business case. The second thing what we mentioned, or third thing what we mentioned actually on the core component capabilities, is the authentication manager. So typically when you use a provider hosted add-in, you are actually running the code within the context of the end user. So your code would be looking something like within the slide right now. You're taking advantage or getting the SharePoint context using the get SharePoint context object. And then you typically are creating for example, you're creating a user context to the host web, and then you manipulate or apply settings to the host web from your provider hosted add-in. This capability absolutely works within a provider hosted add-in section, but when you're implementing something like a custom code, like a Azure web job, which is connecting all the individual sites, or you're implementing something which isn't in the context of the end user, you can take advantage of the BMP authentication manager and connect to the SharePoint sites more efficiently. So it helps you to, for example, implement the console applications or Azure web jobs or batch jobs or whatever you want to call them, which are connecting to the SharePoint sites using different authentication methods, using account or Azure AD app-only tokens or ACS app-only tokens. And then you're able to then access the sites efficiently and manipulate and do whatever is needed for your business case. So the authentication manager simplifies this process. Quite often it's a single line of code again. For example, if you wanna use the native app Azure Active Directory authentication for native apps, using the authentication manager, it's a single line of code to get that to work and show the consent window, for example, in the case of Windows Forms authenticating to a SharePoint Online. One of the other things what we have in the PMP core component, which was mentioned already as well, is the PMP provisioning engine. And this is really the simplistic story of the PMP provisioning engine. There's multiple different other scenarios as well. But one of the simplistic way of kind of showing the power of the PMP provisioning engine is really the export and import use case for the customizations within a SharePoint site. So using the BMP provisioning engine, you can have a live site, which you can call as a, for example, as a template site, which is having the needed customizations, for example, custom web parts, the branding, custom lists, libraries, content types, site columns, and whatever settings is needed. Then you can use that template site to actually take the configuration and apply those to an empty out-of-the-box site. So the BMP provisioning engine is around extraction and applyment of templates, which are essentially configurations, which we can serialize as well if needed. You can use just per code if you want, or you can serialize the templates to an XML format or JSON format if that's needed for your business case. But what it gives us is a capability and really, really compelling story. You can actually create sites or site templates or modifications based on existing live sites. So your business end users can go to a live site and modify that as the template site. And then we can apply those settings to any newly created site, and you will get exactly the same end result. What's important to notice about the BMP provisioning engine, however, is that it doesn't actually concentrate on content. It does content manipulation in the welcome page of the site, but we do not actually extract all of the content within the site, at least for the time being. There are extension providers which are actually doing this, and those are available within the PMP GitHub repositories for people to reuse. But the core engine, the PMP provisioning engine, concentrates on configuration, like content type, site columns, lists, libraries, and all of those settings, which can be extracted from the existing sites and then applied to another site. It also supports updating, and what we mean with that one is that you might have a use case where you want to actually include a new library to all of your existing site collections. So you can actually go to the template site, you can extract or create a new library to the template site or a new content type to a template site, and then you're able to extract that and apply that to all of the existing instances. And the engine actually is making sure that it's handling properly the delta changes. So as an example, in the case of content types, you might want to go to your template site, create a new content type. You're able to extract the whole template or just the content type from your template site, and then do a loop around the other site collections to apply that content type to those site collections, or whatever other settings as well. In the case of content type, you might also want to could take advantage of the content type hub, which has its own advantages and disadvantages. But the BMP provisioning engine does support a lot of other settings and configurations as well. So they might be language settings, it might be regional settings, it might be whatever additional settings within the sites as well. And then the final topic, what we mentioned in the introduction, was the BMP PowerShell. And the BMP PowerShell isn't precisely in the core component, but it actually encapsulates the core component in a way that you're able to use just PowerShell scripts to operate against SharePoint sites in SharePoint Online or in SharePoint on-premises. So the BMP PowerShell is essentially, again, extending what the SharePoint Online commandlets are having natively from Microsoft. So we do have a SharePoint Online commandlets for SharePoint Online, which you can use for administrative tasks, for example, creating sites, removing sites, adding users, creating groups, and so on. The BMP commandlets, however, concentrates more on the artifact management within the sites. So you're able to, for example, create lists, views, fields, upload files, and all of that using PowerShell easily as well. There's a simple example in the slides using a three lines of PowerShell PowerShell code. So the Connect SP Online is for first connecting to the SharePoint Online site. That could be also on premises, even though the name of Connect SP Online commandlet is slightly could be misunderstood, but it works against on premises as well, using ADFS option as well and all of the other authentication schemes. Then we are using new SBO site, and that's a one PowerShell command for creating a site within a SharePoint online in this particular case. And then we are using an add SBO field commandlet, which is actually then adding a new field, a choice field, to that newly created list within a SharePoint Online site. Good. So moving on topic, so how do we actually use the BMP core component? The BMP core component is available from a GitHub as a open source code, but we also release it as a NuGet package to NuGet Gallery. And this is absolutely the preferred way of taking advantage of the BMP core component, so you can keep up with the new versions, which are released on a monthly basis. The easiest way to find the BMP core component is really to use the NuGet Gallery within a Visual Studio and search for Office Dev BNP. And that will actually show you right now two versions of the core component, but pretty soon three versions of the core component whenever the SharePoint 2016 version will be included. And then you can select the right component based on the target environment. So are you using actually or developing a solution against SharePoint 2013, SharePoint 2016, or SharePoint Online? The reason why there's multiple versions is pretty understandable. There are multiple versions of the client-side object model natively as well. And we need to release multiple versions of the core component so that we don't call any of the properties or methods which are only available, as an example, in a SharePoint Online. Because that would cause an exception in on-premises, because that method or property would not be valid for on-premises environment. Whenever you are installing a NuGet package from the NuGet gallery, it will also download all of the needed dependencies of making the PMP core component work efficiently within a provider hosted add-in or whatever solution you're actually writing. So it has a dependency on the needed ASP.NET web API NuGet packages, also to SharePoint CSAM NuGet packages and app for SharePoint Online Web Toolkit. So the only NuGet package which you need to associate when you start developing your application is the PMP core component, and after that you'll be ready to go to concentrate actually making your code or whatever is needed for your business requirements. Let's have a look on that one in practice. So how do we actually start using the PMP core component as a NuGet package from a NuGet gallery? So what we're going to do is that we're going to spin up a new console application, and then we're going to start using the PMP core component from the NuGet gallery. So let's have a look on the how we can use the PMP core component NuGet package. This is just a typical console application, and what we have right now in the console application is the typical setup of references to the basic assemblies, what the console application is adding there by default. I haven't added any code here, and just created the project to save some time for the demo. So how do we actually start using the PMP core component NuGet package? We right-click the project and then we choose Manage NuGet Packages, and this will actually open up the NuGet package or NuGet gallery from where we can then associate or make references to these NuGet packages, which are then actually containing typically code or assemblies. And that means that you don't actually have to install any SDKs or additional installations to your machine to be able to associate or reference assemblies which you need within your code. Like within the case of PMP core component. So let's actually click that and we are opening up the NuGet package. It's opening up on the installed tab. So I'm going to move back on the browse tab. And then what I want to do is find Office Dev PMP. I use that as a search criteria. And right now what we're seeing is two different NuGet packages. So there's the Office Dev PMP Core 16 and Office Dev PMP Core 15. In the description, it is explicitly actually saying that 16 is for SharePoint Online and 15 is for SharePoint 2013. Relatively soon, depending on what time you're watching actually this video, there will be three versions of this NuGet package, one for SharePoint 2013, one for SharePoint 2016, and one for SharePoint Online. And in this case, what we want to do is that I want to actually modify one of my out-of-the-box theme sites within my own test tenant. So I'm going to use the SharePoint Online option. And then I'm going to click install. And what's going to happen right now is that the Visual Studio is contacting the NuGet gallery. It is reading the NuGet definition, and then it starts installing all of the assemblies which are part of the NuGet package. Before it does that, it's going to actually install all of the dependent NuGet packages. And for PMP core component, we can actually see the dependent NuGet packages in here. And all of these are automatically installed to the solution or project whenever you add a reference to the PMP core component. So you don't actually have to worry about do you have all the needed assemblies and what's missing and what type is missing. All of this is essentially automatically then installed properly within your project in the right order. So, and that's what the license acceptance is all about. So if you have a look on the list on here, there's the Microsoft SharePoint Online CSAM. That's the official Microsoft CSAM or out-of-the-box CSAM. And then the final one is the Office Dev PMP Core 16. So I'm going to click accept. And quite fast, we can see a lot of changes happening within our Visual Studio project. We got some files like the CS files for the SharePoint context and token helper, and which are typically used, for example, in the provider hosted add-in scenario. We are also now starting to see changes within the references. And what's happening is that all of these assemblies which you want to use or which we need to use within our solution are being pulled down, and they are being pulled down in a local storage, or they're being pulled down in a way that they are using those assemblies from a bin folder. So you won't have any challenges around, for example, globally deploy the assemblies in your GAC, we are rather referencing this write version, which we have selected to be installed from the NuGet gallery. In this particular case, we installed the latest version, which was 2.2.16.03, and that's the March version of March 16 version of BMP Core Component. We actually have all of the previous versions available in the NuGet gallery as well. So if you have created, for example, a solution which has referenced a previous version of the NuGet package, that will continue using the previous version until you will actually update the reference to a later version. In the case of BMP Core Component, that's relatively safe because we do have a backward compatible implementation style. So we are really minimizing any breaking changes. And if there's any breaking changes, there's always the few months notifications on deprecating any methods. Anyway, in this case, we wanted to use the latest version, which was the March 2016 version of the BMP Core Component. So let's actually start using that. We can, as part of the NuGet packet installation, like you saw, we have all of the needed references like Microsoft SharePoint client and all of the other stuff here as well. So let's close the references so we don't have more space for our code. What I have here is a, like mentioned, this is an out-of-the-box console application, and obviously everything works within the any managed code, so typically in a provider hosted add-in scenario as well. To be able to access SharePoint Online, I'm going to add a few lines of code from my personal snippets, and this is just a typical set of code which I'm using to connect to my own tenant. And it has a dependency on certain things. So what we're doing is that we're reading my Microsoft Online password from my environmental variables, so I don't actually need to fill up that password anywhere. We also are connecting to a specific site. In this case, I want to connect to a vsj.sharepoint.com/theme. And I want to modify that site slightly. We also need to solve, for example, these missing statements. So let's actually add those using statements using Microsoft SharePoint client, and then for the secure string as well. So now, immediately when we start implementing something within our implementation section, I'm going to take the ctx.web and press a button. I can actually see a lot of new methods which are not available within the out-of-the-box CSUN. So many of these, or all of these, which are not available from the out-of-the-box CSUN, are coming from the BMP Core Component. So the only thing what you needed to do is get a using statement to that Microsoft.SharePoint.client, and after that you will and have a reference to Core Component, and after that you have all of these additional methods available, like creating a content type, creating a content type from XML, creating a content type from XML file, and all of that, or creating a taxonomy field. So in this case, let's actually keep it relatively simple. We want to create a content type, so let's create a content content type. We need to give it a name, we need to give it an ID, and then we need to give it a group name as well. So let's call this BMP CT group, and let's add that ending marker there as well. Let's call this BNP core doc as an example. So that's going to be the display name for the content type. I can just as well go and modify additional settings from the content type after creating it initially as well. This one was the content type ID port. And for the content type ID, you probably know this already. The content types has a specific hierarchy. And this is a relatively weird thing in SharePoint, but it has some historical reasons. So the fact that I want to actually create my own unique document content type means that I need to actually inherit first from the system, then from the item, and then from the document, out-of-the-box document content type, and then I'm going to extend that. And typically we extend that by having a 0, 0, and then I'm going to actually get a random GUID, which I'm going to just copy from my small GUID generator, so that we get a unique ID for this particular content ID, so that it's not overlapping with anything what we're having within the site collection already. There we go. So executing that will actually also execute the execute query command, because a lot of the methods in the PMP core components are relatively complex. This particular one isn't, but by default, the method calls are actually executing the execute query command. So after executing that line, we will have a content type ready within the site collection. And then let's actually add another line here. So let's actually create a list as well. So CTX web, and let's create a list. And again, it's a single line. In this case, we want to create a document library. And let's call that PNP documents. And we need to provide some additional settings or properties as well. Do we want to enable versioning? Let's set that as false. And then do enable content types equals true, because the default value, like within the SharePoint natively, is false. So I want to enable the content types within that newly created document library. So I'm going to slightly modify the code so you're able to see that in a single line or within the screen more easily. So now we have a content type created and a list created within the two lines of code. Typically with out-of-the-box, that would require much more additional code. And let's also add that content type to the list. We have a few different options how to do that. Add a content type to a list using an object, add a content type to a list using an ID or by name. And let's use that by name in this case. And let's set the content type also as a default content type within the list itself. So I'm going to copy the content type name from here. Before I'm running this, let's have a look on the site to where I'm actually, when I'm going to modify or run these changes. So I'm going to open up that site and let's just double check that I'm on the right site. And as we can see, this is an out-of-the-box theme site. If I go to the site contents, there's really nothing special there. It's an out-of-the-box theme site, which is clean, no custom libraries, no nothing from that kind. So let's go, let's actually still remain in a site content. We can save some time with that one. And let's start executing the code. So I do have a break pointer waiting over there. So after everything has been connected to the SharePoint Online, the password and the URLs and everything like that has been properly set, my breakpoint is actually hitting within the console application. So now what I'm going to do is that I'm going to first create the content type. And if everything goes well, it's going to be created relatively fast. There we go. Then I'm going to create the list. And let's actually create the list called PMP documents. And on this moment, let's actually go back on the site. And I'm going to refresh the UI so I can actually see that document library being just created. So let's go to the document library and let's have a look on the new option. Right now, we have these four options in a new option. The document, the content types, or there isn't any additional content types. There's only the default content type available. And then what I want to do is associate that PMP core doc content type to that list as the default content type. So executing that piece of code and the content type association has been completed with a single line of code. And that's it. Our code is executed. Let's go to back on our site. Let's refresh the URL. And let's have a look on the changes within the UI. We are able to see the PMP core document as the default value in the content in the library. And if we go to the library settings, we're able to see that we have content types enabled and we have the PMP core doc content type there available as well. And what's really kind of the key point of the core component itself is the amount of code. These three lines of code in a normal system, which require quite a significant amount of code. Now you can enable or do stuff much more efficiently when you're using the core component because it's a single line execution and things just happen directly within your site. And that's all we're going to do within this demo, so hopefully you find this useful. Now, before we are closing up on the video, let's actually quickly have a look on the, some other topics as well. So the PMP core component versioning and updates, and this is a relatively common question around the PMP core component. We are releasing a new version of the PMP core component as a monthly basis as part of the monthly patterns and practices releases. We do absolutely do automated unit testing for the core component, and the monthly releases are just making sure that we have time enough to do more comprehensive testing for these monthly releases. There is some baseline CSAM dependencies. So the baseline client-side object model for in each environment is slightly different. For SharePoint Online, we always are having a dependency on the latest available Nuket. So the latest version of PNP will have a dependency on the latest available Nuket package for SharePoint Online. The SharePoint 2016 or upcoming SharePoint 2016 version of the core component will have a dependency on an RTM version of SharePoint 2016. The SharePoint 2013, version of the Nuket, the core component, will have a baseline dependency on 2015 April CU. And this is really because all of the CUs for on-premises for SharePoint 2013 are also introducing new capabilities. So we just essentially selected a version which is the baseline which should be running at least in on-premises within your SharePoint 2013 version to avoid any issues when you're using the core component. The fact that if you are running an older version of the SharePoint 2013, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are facing issues, but there might be some methods or functionalities within a core component which have a dependency on newer properties and methods which might not be available within your older version of SharePoint 2013. All of the old versions of the PMP core components are kept in the Nuget gallery for backward compatibility purposes. So whenever we are releasing a new version of the core component, we're not replacing the existing version within the Nuget gallery. All of your existing solution will keep on working, and they are referencing by default the older versions of the core component. You can choose when and how, or if you are kind of have a update to the latest version of the PMP core component. All of the PMP core components which are releasing are backward compatible. So we are implementing this in a way that we're not making any breaking changes, or we are minimizing any breaking changes. If there is, however, a need for doing a breaking change for a method or a property, this will be notified by deprecating those older methods and at least for 2 months before they are actually removed from the released version. And what we mean with that one is that if we need to do a breaking change, we will replace an old method within a code base, we will mark that as deprecated. So whenever you're compiling your code, you will get a notification in a Visual Studio that you're using a method which is deprecated. And there will be at least 2 months when the method will be still 2 months monthly versions where the method still will be available within the core component until we will actually move that. So you can easily see from a Visual Studio when you're compiling your code if there are breaking changes and if there are deprecated methods used, and those deprecated method messages are also giving you guidance on replacing that functionality with the newer version if needed. The PMP itself is a community project, so this is not the core component falls on the community building for the community as well. So absolutely feel free to contribute with issues, pull requests, and Yammer discussions for the PMP core component. We are community initiative dependent on community contributions. So your input is highly, highly valuable. And we in the Microsoft side obviously are still looking on making sure that things are aligned based on the Microsoft recommendations. Quick summary slide still related on Office Dev PNP. So if you do AKMS Office Dev PNP, you land to our welcome page, which is having all of the links on all of the resources. And this slide is more around listing all of the different assets and areas or locations where you can find official guidance around the patterns and practices, core component and other assets within the patterns and practices. So there's the Channel 9 section, there's the MSDN section, there's the Yammer group, highly active Yammer group in the Office 365 network. Our Twitter account hasn't been that active and we're trying to fix that. There's a monthly community calls using the monthly community calls where we are always explaining what's happening within a PNP in a monthly basis. There's multiple repositories which contain different kind of elements. The core component itself, the source code for the core component is under the PNP site's core repository. And then there's other samples and solutions available for you as well. docs.com/officedevpnp is for presentations, and Office Dev PNP Partner Pack is one of the reference or starter kit solutions for SharePoint Online, which is also demonstrating the power of the core component. So please have a look on that one if you actually want to have a UIs and functionalities implemented using the core component and as a reference solution for you to take advantage within your implementation. And that's really all we're going to do within this video. So thanks for watching, and hopefully you'll find this useful. So thanks for your time.